We began our service this evening, what may seem like forever ago, with these words: "For this is the Passover of the Lord, in which by hearing his word and celebrating his sacraments, we share in his victory over death." In the Exultet, that hymn that was chanted for us, we heard these words: "This is a night." We heard that refrain again and again. This is a night. This is a night when you brought our forebears, the children of Israel, out of bondage in Egypt and led them in the sea to dry land. In the second century, Bishop of Sardis, Melito, called the work of Christ and his suffering, death, and resurrection, he called this the Paschal Mystery. He described how the Passover was a type that found its fulfillment in Christ. And this, of course, was a connection that had already been made in Holy Scripture, but one in which he elaborated and said is worthy of our deep meditation and consideration, especially at Easter. We refer to the death and resurrection of Christ as the Paschal Mystery. Paschal, this word, it has to do with suffering, but it also has to do with the Passover. Tonight, we celebrate the Passover as it has been fulfilled in Christ. What is the story of the Passover? The story of the Passover is a story of deliverance through waters of judgment by the blood of the Lamb into a victory of new life. We read about the creation that begins with dark water. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The potentiality of life-giving waters, of water bringing life to the world, or to creation, it turns into something different. Waters become signs of judgment. So after humanity's fall in Genesis chapter 3, the flood waters of judgment, which we read about, come upon a world that has set its face against God. Jonah, in his rebellion, is thrown into the waters, where he is swallowed up by a giant fish. And of course, in the Exodus, the waters of the Red Sea bring judgment on Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Yet in each of these watery judgment scenes, there is a corresponding act of salvation through water. Noah and his family are brought safely through water. Jonah, after spending 3 days in the belly of a fish, a sort of death as it were, is spit out in a resurrection out of water onto land. Israel passes through the waters of judgment to dry land in the Exodus. The complete testimony of Scripture is telling us everyone must pass through the waters of judgment. The Paschal Mystery, though, is not just about passing through water. It's about the blood of the Lamb. Before Israel passes through the waters of judgment, she escapes another judgment. To escape Egypt and the angel of death, each household, you may remember the story, had to slaughter a lamb and apply the blood of the lamb to the doorpost. And the angel passed over those who were covered by the blood of the lamb. Now, all of this was preparing us for the fulfillment of the Paschal Mystery. When Jesus comes onto the scene in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, John the Baptist identifies him and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." St. Paul sees the Paschal fulfillment too when he talks about the Eucharist and he says, "Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed for us." Now, on the cross, Jesus is our Passover Lamb who is sacrificed for us. And on the cross, Jesus endures the waters of judgment. On the cross, the waters of judgment and the blood of the Lamb meet. The Paschal Mystery is being revealed. But the cross is not the end of the Paschal Mystery. It is the beginning of its fulfillment. The Lamb who was slain is the Lamb who is raised. The Lamb passes through the waters of death and judgment. He comes to the other side, and coming to the other side, he proclaims victory. The resurrection is the Paschal victory. And we share in this victory. We just read from Romans 6, "Do you not know that all who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death?" In baptism, we are sharing in the work of Christ. In the waters of baptism, we go into the waters of judgment with Christ. But we don't stay there. We pass through the waters. We come to the other side. Because in the next verse, Paul says, "We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death." Why? In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. We too might enjoy and celebrate and live in this victory that Christ has won for us. We share in the Paschal mystery through baptism, and we also share in this Paschal mystery through celebration. The baptized body is a body that celebrates the victory of the Lamb. After the victory over Pharaoh and his army, Moses, he does what you do after a victory. You sing, you celebrate. He leads the people in singing, and then Miriam leads the people in dancing. Maybe we should do a little bit more of that. I don't know. Listen to these words from Exodus 15. "Then Moses and the people," again, just had this amazing victory. It was the Lord's victory. They got to enjoy it. "Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord. 'I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. This is my God. I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him.' This is a song of celebration for the people of God. And this is our song also. We sing the song of victory. The song of resurrection victory. Israel went through a death and resurrection. Dead in slavery in Egypt, rescued through blood and water, and raised again on the other side of the Red Sea to celebrate the victory of the Lord. This is a preview of the Lamb of God's Paschal victory for us and for our salvation. And in this victory, it is not Egypt who is defeated, or any other nation, or any human tyrant. That's not the enemy. That's not what needs to be defeated. Christ defeats death itself, the greatest and the last enemy. We'll sing a little bit later on, and tomorrow morning again, the Easter Triparion. It's an ancient Easter anthem from the Eastern tradition with these simple and beautiful words. "Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tombs, bestowing life." This is an anthem of victory. This is our victory anthem. This is the Paschal victory that we enjoy and celebrate. This is the night. This is the night that this has been achieved for us. Back in Exodus chapter 14, Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." The victory of salvation belongs exclusively to the Lord. He fights, he wins. We, as it were, sit back in silence. But we share in this victory. It is our victory. Now, when your team wins, and apparently there was some basketball game earlier tonight that was going on, some of you were interested in. When your team wins, you as a fan, you have every right to say, "We won." Even, you know, you weren't out there throwing passes or scoring any runs or scoring any shots. You're a spectator, you're a fan, but it's your team. You enjoy the victory. We contribute nothing to our salvation. God in Jesus Christ has fought for us and won the battle. What is left for us to do? One thing that's left for us to do, an important thing, a key thing, a thing that we can never forget to do, is to celebrate. Right after the Exodus, Moses celebrates, and he calls the people to celebrate. He leads them in a victory song, their victory feast. This is how we celebrate. We sing resurrection anthems. We participate in this victory by singing the victory. We participate in the victory by coming and celebrating in the meal that has been given us, this victory table. And then afterwards, we do what we love to do, and it's good and right to do it. We have a big celebration. We celebrate tonight in honor of our King, in honor of the Lamb of God who was slain for us, and the Lamb of God who was raised for us, the Lamb of God who won for us. And we get to enjoy the spoils of victory. We live in a world that seems encouragingly so to be longing for mystery, something more, something transcendent, something enchanted. The malaise of postmodernity leaves us aching and pining for something else. Is this all there is? To which the Christian faith responds with a resounding no. There is something much more. And in fact, there is a great mystery. A mystery that we can't fully dissect and comprehend and rationally break down, but it's a mystery nonetheless that is true, that is based in reality, that is based on historical fact. A mystery that can move us to our core. A mystery that is beautiful. A mystery that gives us hope. A mystery that gives us purpose. It's the Paschal mystery. The Paschal mystery of the Lamb of God. This mystery, it's based on historical claims. The death and resurrection of Christ. But those facts of history, if you accept them, they are not bare facts. They are facts that draw us into something more. They draw us into a mystery. A mystery that is beautiful, and a mystery that is ultimately saving. The Paschal mystery is the Paschal victory. To receive the Paschal mystery, to believe in the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, we're on the winning side. May not always feel like it, but this is the side of victory. And often on that side of victory, on that winning side, we follow our Paschal, that is to say, our suffering Lamb. Just as we share in his victory and his ultimate final defeat of sin, death, and hell, we also share in his sufferings. But even when we share in his sufferings, those sufferings are anticipating the ultimate victory. Brothers and sisters, we are on the victorious side. Sin, though it continues to threaten us, it now has no real power over us. Death, though we all have to pass through it, these waters of judgment, we find out, were endured by Jesus, who has gone before us. Death is not the last word. Satan, though he flails around and still harms, is an enemy already defeated. He has been put on notice. His number is up. His final doom is sure. The victory of Christ, the Paschal Lamb, this is our victory. This is the Passover of the Lord. This is the night of deliverance. This is the night of victory. Christ has passed through the waters. Christ has been raised. Christ has conquered the last enemy. I want to conclude with words from an Easter sermon from St. John Chrysostom, most likely preached in Constantinople at the Easter Vigil around 400 AD. And to just give you a sense that Christians across the world for two millennia have been gathering, perhaps sometimes outdoors like this, sometimes in great cathedrals, sometimes in humble places, but they've been gathering and celebrating this victory. This is what John Chrysostom said to his congregation one night in 400 AD. If any man be devout and love God, let him enjoy this fair and radiant triumphal feast. If any man be a wise servant, let him rejoicing enter into the joy of his Lord. Enjoy ye all the feast of faith, Receive ye all the riches of loving kindness. O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory? Christ is risen, and you are overthrown. Christ is risen, and the demons are fallen. Christ is risen, and the angels rejoice. Christ is risen, and life reigns. Christ is risen, and not one dead remains in the grave. For Christ, being risen from the dead, is become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. To him be glory and dominion unto ages. Amen.